Welcome to the Hod Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. It's that time of year again. Padres Mariners, the natural rivalry created by interleague games. I say that with a smirk on my face because the Padres will host the Mariners for 2 days as we record this on Tuesday morning. And then later, I don't think it's till September, Padres will go to Seattle, the only American League team they will play in two series, more than one three-game series. Anyway, Ryan, lots to talk about. Where would you like to start?
So I have three topics I want to talk about. Let's start with the first one. Let's get kind of the good news out of the way early here. Padres sending five guys to the All-Star game. All-Star starters were announced last week, and then the All-Star reserves were announced Sunday. Jackson Merrill, Robert Suarez, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jurickson Profar, Luis Arraez. Of Padres five All-Stars. None of these are particularly surprising to me. Kevin, is there one that struck you as surprising?
No, but yes. Okay, so I think we talked about it. I've talked about it other places. Jackson Merrill deserves to be an All-Star. Agreed. A little surprised, maybe the rookie went. They didn't find a way that, you know, somebody else or that, because another team had to fill out a player or something. But I honestly wasn't paying that much attention to it because I don't care. Like, I do care. I think that's incredible. It's awesome for Jackson Merrill. But in terms of like getting upset or whatever beforehand, you know, creating some sort of, anger beforehand, I don't participate in that. Sure, I would have written about the snub if he hadn't gone because he does deserve to go. I will say this, and I don't want to get on it too much because the guy is hitting 314 or whatever. Luis Arraez is like, I think he has been a spark plug in some ways. And I am with you that he is fun to watch. On the other hand, he has the worst 0-for-5s that you will see at any time in the major leagues by anyone. And obviously, I'm nitpicking to a certain extent, but he does not walk, or at least he has not for the Padres. He can go 4-for-5 just as easily as he can go 0-for-5. I'm joking a little bit, but when he goes 0-for-5, it's like, did he even play? It was like 10 pitches. And it's like, I don't know. Is he really one of the better players? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with it. It's kind of been on my mind for a while that like Luis Arraez, could we get a little bit more out of him? Anyway, all right, go on.
No, I agree. It's funny. I love these things, and this is why we all love baseball. Had on February 27th, we told you that the Padres would have five All-Stars, and here's who those five All-Stars would not be. It would not be Yu Darvish. It would not be Joe Musgrove. It would not be Manny Machado. It would not be Xander Bogaerts, right?
It's not Jake Cronenworth. I mean, you got to go really down.
One of them would be a guy who's in single A year ago. The other one would be Jurickson Profar, who they hadn't signed yet. Another one would be Luis Arraez, a player who was not on the team at the time. Another one would be Tatis, but Tatis couldn't play because he was hurt. I mean, it's an incredible list of players, and it reminds me so much of, was it 21? Where they put, was it five All-Stars out there? You know, Mark Melanson made it. Remember that year? Cronenworth made his first All-Star game. It reminds me a little bit of that, just in terms of it's an unlikely crew of guys who are going. But I think that that's what makes baseball so great. I mean, this isn't like the NBA where you're watching, LeBron somehow starts every All-Star game, for 25 years. So,
that is true. And it's not like it used to be in the major leagues, right? You made an All-Star team. You were going, you won a gold glove. You were going to win it forever. Right. And often you deserved it. And sometimes it's like, what's that guy doing being an All-Star? And sure, that happens still because fans do get to vote and they get to vote for their players, and as they should, that's what this is about. So, but I think it's really, really appropriate and really cool that Jackson Merrill is going. I think that it is hard to, in the entirety of Major League Baseball, and I admit to being myopic on a lot of things, but it's hard to beat Jurickson Profar going to the All-Star.
It's so funny too. He's been so good since the season began for the Padres. We've gotten used to the idea of Jurickson Profar being a good player. I'm sure that there are fans in Milwaukee and Cincinnati and South Florida and Pittsburgh who go, starting outfielder Jurickson Profar? The guy who's on the cover of Baseball America 11 years ago, Jurickson Profar. That's what's really cool. It will be cool watching Jurickson Profar get exposed to this national audience that, frankly, the Padres are a big deal and the Padres spend a lot of money. They don't have the national pull that we see a lot of other teams have in this game.
Certainly not. You know, the Dodgers and obviously four or five or six East Coast teams, and then the Cubs. And yeah, it is. It's cool. It's good for Jurickson. I think there's, I mean, heck, every one of them has a story. Robert Suarez. Yes. And then Luis Arraez. I mean, look, I kind of was like harsh there because that's sort of my job to be sober about this stuff. But third different team in 3 years. Heck, could very well be a fourth different team next year.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Also, real quick, can we talk about Robert Suarez? As a quick aside, he is, again, one of those guys who's been so good all year, with the exception of, was it last Friday or whenever it was?
He shouldn't have had to go in the game, yes.
Right, when he shouldn't have had to go in the game. You know, this is somebody who, right, I mean, went overseas, was pitching overseas. The Padres identify him, install him as their closer. He blows the first save opportunity of his career in spectacular fashion, right?
Yeah.
He nails in the playoffs that year. They re-signed him to a contract that I think some thought was somewhat ridiculous, just in terms of years and money. Misses last year with injuries, sticky stuff, suspension, and comes out this year and has been, for my money at least, the best closer in the National League.
Certainly the guy who can be counted on to go whenever you ask him. And I obviously don't know what Ryan Helsley's rules are. I mean, there's a guy who was injured and who they're handling a certain way, but he obviously has been lights out for the Cardinals. Yeah, I think he's third or fourth in saves, but you are correct in terms of the guy who has gone four plus outs the most, the guy who has gone 3 days in a row twice, a guy who has been asked to come in twice. And I believe of like the four games he's allowed to run, two of them have been the kind of games where, look, it's his job to stay locked in, even if they're up by seven. But two times he's been asked to come in the ninth inning when there was a five or a six run lead. And that's just tough to do. Any reliever being honest will tell you, like, at some point you've checked out of that game.
Right. I think being labeled old school is not necessarily a good thing in modern baseball. You know, I think that the more information we get, the more it shows that some of these old school tendencies aren't really the right way to play it. Robert Suarez is delightfully old school. He went a stretch where all he did was throw fastballs. He goes to the post every day. You know, when you're following a guy like Josh Hader, who had these rules and regulations and how to use them, you know, Suarez to me, again, I understand why he's so well-liked among fans. I understand why, you know, he is so popular. It's because he does go to the post every day. And, you know, what do we say, Kevin? It's the old football term. What is it? It's like availability is an ability.
A lot of times it's the best ability.
It's the best ability. And he is available all the time.
If you have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, too. Because I'm available. But, you know, that wouldn't be great.
Right. If somebody wants to see, like, 58, I'm in. Padres, five All-Stars. That's the big good news of the week. Some things that I think are a little concerning here. Number one, let's start with Yu Darvish. He's been placed on the restricted list due to what the team is calling a family medical thing. There's all sorts of possibilities here. He could return after the All-Star break, hypothetically. He could not pitch for them again this year, hypothetically. What are you hearing about the situation and about what the time frame might be?
Yeah, to be clear, I think family personal matter.
Correct.
There's all sorts of stuff out there, and out of respect for you, I think that you know, any speculation that I've been tempted to make, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to do it. But I will say the bottom line is this: the team expects him back. That said, as I've termed it before, that might be more hopeful than actual like expectation, because it is up to Yu Darvish whether he comes back. But the belief is that he will come back this year, and that is what their preference is, without a doubt, because there's a proven guy that's going to give you innings. He's going to find a way to give you innings and keep you in games. And I mean, that's almost no matter where he's at in terms of, is he the good you or the bad you, or he's going to find a way to keep you in a game, whether he's the ace of the staff or whatever. And so they would like that. They need that. Regardless of you, they also need another starting pitcher. They need a relief pitcher at least. And so, you know, and that plays into it. Mm-hmm. And not saying they're going to use all the money if Yu Darvish doesn't come back, which is about $7 million he's owed, but that would free up some more money.
Yep. The restricted list, and you know, for those who aren't super familiar with it, Yu Darvish will not be paid while he is on the restricted list. The Padres can use the money they were going to pay Yu Darvish, theoretically, to fill a roster spot. Mm-hmm. It would not count against the luxury tax that they're trying to stay up against. And it would certainly alter their trade deadline plans, you would think, Kevin, if they were to receive an indication from Yu Darvish's camp that this is going to be a whole year thing, right?
Yeah, because like I said, Yu Darvish back or not, Joe Musgrove back or not, they need to another starter, right? And you know, they're limping along with Adam Mazur, who will start tonight as we tape this on Tuesday. And Michael King's at 105 innings. He will pitch tomorrow, Wednesday. You know, if you're a playoff team, you need a little more than that to get there, probably. And then also, once you're there, Dylan Cease is fully capable of being a guy who you are really comfortable with in game one of a playoff series or a deciding game of a playoff series. But you don't know that you can count on that right now. Here's the issue. Like, there's 20 to 22 teams that could be considered buyers. Maybe mm-hmm. 5 or 6 of those aren't full-on buyers, but they're not sellers yet. Right. So now the market is small. Mm-hmm. For what available, and the market is big for those teams that are looking for starting pitching. So right. The asking price is like astronomical, and the Padres like have some considerations there in that they are trying to keep their core prospects because they would like them to form their core as some of their long-term contracts, those guys age.
Right. I'm not going to ask you to write this story because you've got enough going on. But to me, it is so compelling. If you believe in sort of signs, or if not signs, if you believe in indication, right? You could make the argument that the way Jerks and Profar and Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth and Kyle Higashioka, right, are playing, it's an indicator maybe that this is a team that has championship stuff, right? That maybe you do want to push in and go for it. Mm-hmm. There are also some giant red flags, right? Manny Machado struggling. Fernando Tatis out indefinitely. Joe Musgrove not back. Yu Darvish maybe gone for the rest of the year. Maybe back next week. We don't know. You know, Michael King up against his injury or his innings pitch limit. You know, a lack of high-level minor league help on the horizon. You know, you can sit there and go, man, you can make the argument for them to be buyers, and you can just as easily make the argument for them to be sellers.
That part I won't go as far. Everything else that you're saying, I am 100% on board with. I hate to use this. Like it just feels like a really important time. I believe this is a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I believe they're in a precarious situation because of all the guys that are missing. And because, like, okay, buy into Jurickson and Profar. Buy into that Jake Cronenworth is back to being the guy that is, you know, worth $7, $8 million. Okay, buy into whatever you want to buy in. The reason you play 162 games in the Major League Baseball season is to expose weaknesses or allow strengths to rise to the top. It's what makes us crazy, well, especially Dodger fans, crazy about the postseason is that then it's a sprint. but over the course of a season, it's supposed to be like, what do you have? Yes, there's luck involved. Absolutely. But you can't count on being an anomaly. And the Padres at this point, if this season were to continue to go like this, would be something of an anomaly where, and I haven't even lost, I've lost track. It's no longer like the worst season of his career, but Manny's not having anywhere near the best season of his career, right? Mm-hmm. Tatis hurt. He was having a nice year. Xander not having a great year hurt. That would be an anomaly that this team then goes to the playoffs. It just would, because they were built around being carried by those team, by that. Now, I will say this. I've had conversations with people in the front office about this. Like they believe they were a better team last year because you had the big four.
Sure.
They're a better team this year because they are more well-rounded and deeper.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, you know, these guys who are, you know, Jerks and Profar, Jackson Merrill, Kyle Higashioka. Let's talk about those three. Those guys are keeping this team going, right? While the big three are hurt and struggling.
Yep.
And at some point, the big three need to come back and be the big three, and they need more pitching.
Yep.
And Joe Musgrove needs to come back and be productive.
Yep.
And. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to go right, but man, it's hard sometimes. I mean, look at these guys who have been kind of role players the last few years, Solano, et cetera, et cetera. Bryce Miller had a great column about this today. The supporting cast is doing its job, man. I mean, that's This is what you see on championship caliber teams.
Yes. Now, this, now, how about this for a little segue? Mm-hmm. The supporting cast that includes Donovan Solano.
Right.
Xander Bogaerts is back in town, probably going to see some live pitching at Petco Park today as we tape, and then probably play some games in Lake Elsinore, and then return on Friday would be the plan, okay? So what do the Padres do? While he's been out, he's been working at second base. You don't just, you know, plug Xander Bogaerts into first base. He had all spring to work second base, and he's had to work on it extensively in the season to be really, you know, to be good at it. Jake Cronenworth is better at second base. He's their best second baseman. Now, he's probably also their best first baseman, so it makes sense that you just plug Xander back in at second. You have some sort of rotation. Luis Arraez at first DH, Xander Bogaerts at second DH. But where does Donovan Solano, who they've all taken to calling Donnie Barrels? Like, how do you – it is really going to be interesting. Go ahead.
I know, Kevin. I know where he can play.
Tell me.
Right field. The most difficult position to play at Petco Park. but again, this is a guy, he's played some outfield in his career, right? A little bit of left, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, I and this is a topic for another day. I think right field has become a glaring-ish hole for them. David Peralta has had some good at-bats lately, but, you know, it's Bryce Johnson is struggling. David Peralta, I'm not sure you can run him out there every day in right field. You know, you wonder, because the beauty of having a team with all these versatile guys is, in theory, you could put somebody out there until Tatis, right? Mm-hmm. Who is that? Who of the guys you just mentioned is the most adaptable to right field?
Can't do
You're
it.
Shaking your head, nobody.
Can't do it. Look, you've seen Peralta play out there. Solano would not be any better. You just can't do it. You can't. Now, they sent Eggy Rosario down to play right field.
Yes.
But then also then that brings up a guy, and now you have, what are you going to do, right?
Bryce Johnson.
By the roster. But yeah, and Brett Sullivan goes down for, you know, so.
Right.
Okay, but still, where are you fitting your nine guys in? This is a, I don't want to say problem. This is a fascinating issue is what it is. Because you just can't. And also, they haven't been out there working unless they're secretly, you know, moving Solano out there under the cover of darkness. It's a non-starter. They have a bunch of infielders and they got to figure it out. And there is just no doubt that Xander Bogaerts comes back and plays. There's just no doubt. And now if things were to continue where Xander Bogaerts wasn't hitting, then they have a decision to make. But at the start, there is no decision to make. Xander Bogaerts comes back and he plays.
The nightmare scenario is that he comes back. They make a corresponding move with the idea that Xander Bogaerts is going to be their everyday second baseman. And he continues to hit the way he did early in the season.
That would be.
I mean, the worst thing you can do here is say, we love you, Donovan Solano, but there's no room.
Yeah, right? But not going to happen. I mean, that's not going to happen. Bryce Johnson is short for this team. Brett Sullivan probably back to AAA. David Peralta could be short for this team. But yeah, Donovan Solano, I think, is here for the duration unless he suddenly ran into some wall because he's, you know, 36 going on 37.
Right. I'm not sure what else Donovan Solano could do to help this team. By the way, it's why we love baseball. February, what if I had told you in February, Kevin, everybody looks forward to watching Donovan Solano and Luis Arraez hit. You'd be like, for the Marlins? And you would say, no, for the Padres. It's crazy. Let's talk real quick. Padres Mariners, just a quick two-game series here between the fictional Vetter Cup, I believe it's called, here at Petco. This is a team that I think has given the Padres trouble over the years. This is a rivalry in that it's, you know, it's tough.
Look, Houston and Arizona, I believe, are the rivals.
They are. Yes.
Right. Like there's some that are just natural. Mets, Yankees. Okay. Cubs, White Sox. Okay. There's some that are just natural when you go interleague. And then what are you going to do? Right. You had to do Angels, Dodgers. Right. So who are the Padres going to play? Right.
It's the battle for Peoria. Everybody, right. Everybody's going to the Macaroni Grill to watch this series or wherever the heck you're going. Mariners, a couple games off of the Padres, actually a couple games better, 49 and 43, first place in the AL West. They've really faded lately, but this is a team that was fairly hot. Padres are two games worse. You know, Julio Rodriguez is struggling. It's funny. They are kind of mirror images of each other, right? They
have, if I'm not mistaken, not that it really matters. I just like to argue with you. I think they're one game worse because they've played two more games. Two more. They have two more. Now, I believe you're correct in that they have two more losses. So in the loss column, right? Correct. But yeah, like most teams, they've played fewer games than the Padres. They've lost, I believe, 12 of 17. You know, you go back to June 7th, right? The Padres have lost two in a row. So have the Mariners, by the way, coming into this series. You go back to June 7th. So Padres' last game was on July 7th. So 1 month. The Padres have won, what, 16 of 27, 17 of 28. In that time, the Mariners are 13 and 15. So go back, the Padres are 17-11. That's one of the top 7 or 8 records in the major leagues over the past month. The Padres have established themselves as one of the better teams in the major leagues. The Mariners, what, was their lead 10 games or something? Like, they are not. They're a question mark now. But what I will tell you is Logan Gilbert is pitching tonight.
All-star.
Logan Gilbert has 3 games this year, including two in a row recently, in which he has thrown 8 shutout innings. Logan Gilbert, I believe it was 7 shutout innings against the Padres in Seattle last year. There was another one. It was 7 shutout innings in Seattle against the Padres last year. 7 innings, 1 run against the Padres at Petco Park last year. I believe the year before, he might have made his debut shortly before facing them and did well, or maybe it was the year before that. But Logan Gilbert has pretty much owned the Padres.
Yeah, he has. He's an all-star. I don't know if you saw it, but it went viral. He called his parents, told them he'd been named an all-star. He asked what dad was doing. Dad was drinking a strawberry daiquiri or something in the middle of the day. Really cool story. And again, one of the reasons why the Mariners have been as good so far as they've been. Going up against Adam Mazur, not much we can say. 1-2, ERA hovering around 7.5, has struggled to a 9.3 ERA in his last 2.
When you are talking about, and look, I wrote about it, and I think it is big. When you talk about in the context of one game, Adam Mazur has been prone to the big inning. And I mean, like basically every start since his first start, there has been at least a 2-run inning. I think 3, 4, 5, 6 run innings. His last inning, last game, what was it? 3 runs in maybe the 3rd inning after really being strong the first couple innings. He's in the 4th inning. He might not get out of it. He's down to his last batter and he gets through it. And that helped set up the Padres bullpen. So, hey, way to go. Mm-hmm. But when that's your praise for a pitcher, that's the highest praise you can give Adam Mazur right now. That's not good. That, hey, our guy really did well to finish out the 4th inning before we lifted him for a reliever.
Let's be realistic.
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, like, Adam Mazur's a game they hope to survive at this point.
Right. His one big league victory, again, was a game against the Angels, who are
It was bad. A loss. He went 6-1 because that was when the Padres had all those quality starts and all these hits. And for the first time in Major League history, lost 5 in a row with 10-plus hits every game and a quality start every game.
Right. My point being,
yes,
when he was not bad, it was a day when he got bailed out by double play after double play after double play.
Right? Against a bad team.
Right. And sometimes that happens, man. Sometimes that happens.
But by the way, the Mariners do not have a single guy with an 800 OPS.
Wow.
They are pitching. I mean, this is going to be, it's maybe, if you want to be optimistic, it's strength against strength tonight. Like, you've got Gilbert going against a Padres offense that saved for, you know, recently these last couple games. And I know they got 5 runs 2 games ago, but they should have scored more. It shouldn't have even gone to 10 innings. And when they lost, but they got 4 hits the other night, got 1 run the other day. So you've got a good offense going against Logan Gilbert, and you've got Adam Mazur facing an offense that just doesn't do much.
Right. And then Wednesday, weird start time, 3:40. You've got Michael King, who's pitching better. I mean, struck out 25 against 7 walks in his last 22 innings. Again, just shows glimpses of being that guy, just not consistent.
In his first year of being a starter, I think this is the best you hope for out of Michael King, really. Could it be best? Sure. Does Michael King think he's better? Sure. Will he be better? Probably. But, like, if you want to be real about it, this was your number 4 starter. And he, for stretches of this season, has been, like, your second best starter, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so this is a really good pitcher who is learning how to be a starter.
Right. And he's been durable. I mean, give this guy some credit, too. We talk about availability being an ability. you know, the Padres have lost so many guys to the injured list. This is a guy taking on a big jump in responsibility, in innings, etc. He has been able to go to the post and provide league average or better starting pitching, which is, I think, all you could have hoped for when you made that trade. He's going up against Union Tribune columnist Bryce Miller. So this guy throws a little bit harder than our Bryce, but has struggled really since the end of April. ERA close to five. Padres really don't have much of a history against him, save for some games in Peoria. But he, again, is a young guy with a bright future, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we don't know. We've talked about why baseball is great. Who knows? Probably they beat Gilbert tonight and it doesn't go well against Miller tomorrow. We don't know. But if you had to look at one of these games, like this one was, you go in against Logan Gilbert. In the old days, there'd be guys sitting today against Gilbert. Maybe not coming off an off day because you couldn't like actually make an excuse for him. But in the old days, this is one where you kind of conceded it. That's right. How good Gilbert is against the Padres and has owned some of their guys.
Absolutely. One more thing before we go here. Kevin, you take like three games off a year. It seems like every time you do, something happens. Where were you Friday when that happened? Were you following it live? And where does your mind go when you're not there and weird stuff happens?
So I was hanging out with my wife, secret location, and it was nice. This was one where I wasn't following. This was one where I decided I was going to take a day and get away. However, there's a group text for the media and broadcasters that comes over. And I'll tell you that, you know, that the Padres are winning when there's more texts coming from the PR department about things that are, you know, this is so-and-so's such and such and all these highlights. And so I knew that they were winning. And then when I checked it, I was like, whoa. And as a beat writer, the first thing you are, even though you're sitting there with your beautiful wife, seeing her for the only time you're going to see her all month, and you are bumped. You're bummed that you missed it. Just disappointed. And then you go,
yeah.
Oh no, I'm glad Jeff Sanders is covering this game. What a nightmare on deadline for the print. And then you put the phone down and you get back to paying attention to your life.
Right. I feel so bad because in the last week, there are a couple games where you wrote like, not a lot here today, you know, like, Red Sox.
Right? I feel bad when I do that. On the other hand, sometimes you, when you're used to writing 1,500, 2,000 words in the Padres Daily, you take a good 800 or 1,000 word Padres Daily and go, what more am I going to say about this thing?
Right. This is a great opportunity, Kevin, to plug a couple of things before we go here. Your Padres Daily, I still think it's the best thing we do in the newspaper, even though it's not in the newspaper, if that makes any sense. It's, again, delivered every morning to your email inbox. It is free to anybody who wants to read it. It is a chance for Kevin to expand on the things that there's not time or space for in print, a time for him to really dive into what makes this team interesting. And it's great. It's how I start my day. And I've said this before, Kevin, it's how I started my day before I worked here. I've been reading this every morning ever since it started. Also, there is a sale going on right now on the San Diego Union Tribune's website. Right now it is, I believe, $1 for 6 months. That works out to like 1/30th of a penny for every Padre story we're going to write between now and then. If you are thinking about subscribing to the UT and for some reason haven't yet, it is your lucky day. Because this is a heck of a deal, and try us
free and $1. Wow. That's good. Those are good deals,
right? Absolutely. And you know what? I tell people all the time, right? Just try us out. You'll like us.
I've cancel anytime.
I've yet to meet somebody who went, I subscribed and I read it every day and I just realized that's not for me. And so I canceled. If you try us, you will like us. Plug over.
Plus it's a dollar.
It is $1. Exactly. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Mariners two-game series at Petco Park, followed by Padres Braves, and then the All-Star break. Kevin, next time we talk, we'll try to figure out what is going on with the Atlanta Braves and what Padres have to look forward to. Maybe we'll be talking about Xander Bogaerts coming back.
I believe we probably will.
Absolutely. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.